Hello and welcome to the Our Ladies, Our Voice podcast. On today's episode, we'll be interviewing some of Our Ladies' most well-known teachers. These include our Vice Principal, Mr. Radigan, Science, Maths and Physics teacher, Mr. Mullen, and finally, French and Spanish teacher, Miss Healy. We had so much fun interviewing everyone, so we hope that you all have a great time listening.
Our first interview is with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Radigan. In our interview, we cover the topics of dealing with COVID-19, how he enjoys his job as vice principal. He also tells us how he's looking forward to the restrictions ending.
Hello, welcome to our podcast, Our Ladies, Our Voice. My name is Susan Cook and I'm in B4 and I'm here with...
I'm Roisin and I'm in C4 and today we're going to be interviewing Mr. Radigan, one of the vice principals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first question we have, Mr. Radigan, is tell us a bit about yourself.
A little bit about myself, quite an opening question to go with. I've been teaching in the school since 2000 and, let me get this right, two. Having done my, I did my teaching practice here the year before, so I've only ever known Our Lady School, and I haven't no other way, of course. So mainly a teacher geography and history throughout the years, even though I dabbled in a bit of Chinese and filmmaking in TY, which I really enjoyed. I was form tutor, I said, here, I feel like I'm doing an interview for a job now all of a sudden. And then eventually found this seat here in the, as a deputy principal. So that's been my life in ONS.
So how has it been dealing with COVID in the school?
I'm going to rephrase your question there. We haven't been dealing with COVID in the school. Yeah. We've been dealing with trying to avoid COVID coming into the school. Yeah. So it's an important difference. It has been an immense effort by everybody in the school. Like when you think about it, the school is 766 students, probably another 50 to 60 teaching staff, and then another 10 non-teaching staff. So in all essence, we're a small village. But unlike any other small village in the country, it's 90% teenager. You know, and when you think of what we've expected you guys to do this year, and how unnatural it is to be that distant from each other throughout the year, the students have just been so admirable. They've been quite incredible in the response. And not only with the responsibility, but if they were asked, you know, when the masks slipped on them to, you know, fix it back on, they met that with such pleasantness, you know, and it's exceptional, the response by the students. And where we could, and where the students could, especially through all the various councils and leaderships we have in the school, enjoying remote teaching and learning. When you think of what the teachers have done as well this year, I genuinely think we have the best teaching staff we could possibly expect. They've done an incredible job, and so much behind the scenes that you don't see, especially in remote teaching and learning. You know, the after school hours, they do all through the evenings trying to prepare classes digitally at the weekends, over the course of their holidays and everything. So it's been an immense effort by everybody. And then our non-teaching staff to get the building up and running last August, and then after each and every break we've had after lockdown, Mr. Walsh and the admin team, the bursar, to get us all ready and to create a safe environment has been truly astonishing. So I'm really proud of how we've all reacted this year.
What is your favourite thing about being vice principal?
My favourite. You couldn't understand the job unless you lived the job. Each and every day has huge challenges to it, but you're working with people. It's all really solution driven job. You think you're going to come in and get X, Y, and Z done during the day, but by 8:30 that's changed completely. And you're on to the next thing. So it's not only proactive, but it's reactive all the time. But the fact that you get to work with various people in a day is really joyful. It makes coming into school on a Monday easy. And that's both for the staff as well as the students. Like, this is a wonderful experience. Yeah. What other job would you get this experience to sit down with some students? And I know some of you have been involved in the video shoot we did last week as well. Like, so to see, you know, the talents rise, not only from our students and our staff, you know, but everybody who works in this school, it's really wonderful to be part of that experience. You
know? What are you most looking forward to when COVID-19 restrictions are eased?
Haircut.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
I haven't had this much hair since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And that's a long time ago. Yeah. I have a forest of grey hair now. It's unwieldy in the extreme. So I can't wait to get it up. Not that there's much left on top, but it needs to go.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to the freedom.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to get in a car and go for a drive or to go,
Yeah.
Wake up and say to the kids, come on, let's get in the car. We're going down to Glendalough or we're going down to visit your grandparents. Even just to go for a coffee. So I suppose that freedom has been stripped from us all.
Yeah.
You know, meeting your friends and family alike, you know.
Yeah.
They're the things that we all cherish.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to get back to that sense of
normality.
And I think we'll actually cherish it more.
Yeah, definitely.
And
appreciate it more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now this next question can be positive and comical, it's up to you.
That's putting pressure.
If you could change one thing about Our Ladies, what would it be?
If I could change one thing about Our Ladies, what would it be? Well, I've always thought deputy principals should have a company car. I'm not a greedy person, something simple, maybe an electric or something like that.
Yeah.
One change in Our Ladies. Do you know what? There's one constant in education, and that's that change is always here, ever present. We are constantly changing. So I don't think we could have one change. When you look at how much we change every single year, you know, as a senior leadership team, myself, Ms. Corby, and Ms. Ronan, we will look at a 1 to 3 year plan, a 5 year plan, and a 10 year plan. But in essence, by the time we get to year 5, the 10 year plan has changed because, you know, society is changing so rapidly.
Yeah.
And then with the Parents Council and the Board and Management, again, they're things you don't see your day-to-day. And they do a huge amount of work in the background to make sure that we're change-ready the whole way through. But I think the change, and we have changed, like we've changed, we've got, you know, sports pitches coming, we have, you know, the house system is going to be changed, and I can't wait for that to come back. Like, if you're asked about what are you looking forward to after COVID?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the house system back.
Mm-hmm.
And the madness that comes with it, and the energy that comes with it, and the rivalry and the fun that comes with it, that joy that it brings to the school. Like, so we've constantly changed, whether that be structurally or infrastructurally or just, you know, in terms of how we approach things. But the change in here always must come from the students.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that, and I think our student voice is alive and well in the school, and it'll have to continue to be, because the big conversations of today, like racism, like inclusion, like climate change, these are big conversations, and these are big changes, societal changes that we have to approach as well. And I think your generation are the best place to make those changes, and that's really refreshing to witness that happen as well.
Yeah.
So it has to come from the students. And I think we are more than on the path for inclusivity. I think we do a great job, but it's a job that you're never finished doing in a school. So that change has to be a constant change going forward.
Yeah.
But perhaps then in a climatic manner, maybe making it a more sustainable school and a more environmentally friendly school over the next 5 to 10 years. Because again, they're the big things of the day, and we need to react to them.
Yeah, that's true. What advice would you give to your 16-year-old self?
My own 16-year-old self. I don't remember what it's like to be 16.
Yeah, I'm not even 16.
I suppose, you know what, I give the same advice that I lived actually afterwards. I give the same advice to any 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And that's to travel.
Mm.
I think once you get past your school life and you have an opportunity to travel and experience other cultures and immerse yourself in other cultures and meet new people and different people and see how other people live in the world, I think the richness of that is second to none. I don't think you can learn those things unless it's an experiential thing.
Yeah.
So travel, just constantly travel and enjoy the world that we have.
Yeah. Very good advice,
Okay, so thanks for your time, Mr. Radigan. Thanks for all your answers. Enjoyable experience all around, I think.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Sandra.
Next up, we interviewed Mr. Mellon. Mr. Mellon was interviewed on a series of topics. Mr. Mellon was asked about his career path and why he chose to be a science teacher and a career in the STEM sector. He talked about his college life and what college course he took. He talked about his favourite aspects of teaching.
Okay, so hi, we're from Our Ladies, Our Voice, and we'll be interviewing the science and maths of physics teacher, Mr. Mellon, today.
Well, I remember it, Susan.
Yeah. And yeah, my name is Susan Cook and I'm in B4 and I'm here with
Rachel Brennan in B4.
Yeah. So the first question we have, Mr. Mellon, is tell us a bit about yourself.
So I'm a maths and physics and science teacher, as you said, and I've been in Our Lady School for coming up to 3 years now.
Thank you. So why did you choose to study biology, physics and chemistry for Leaving Cert, and was it difficult?
Oh, that's a tough one. Biology, chemistry and physics for the Leaving Cert. Initially, I did biology. I kind of had a natural interest in science. So I suppose in terms of science as a subject for Leaving Cert, I was kind of thinking biology is probably easy enough to do. So I chose it initially, and then chemistry. The chemistry teacher in the school at the time was my science teacher, and I liked the idea of chemical reactions and blowing things up. For chemistry as well, I kind of chose biology and chemistry. That's what I actually initially did. And I studied geography for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, I made the decision to change. And physics kind of scared me. I think it has this natural scariness to it. I basically changed from geography to physics, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made, because in terms of a science subject, it really changes the way that you think. It's not just the content of the subject that you're kind of enjoying, biology, you do get to understand things, and chemistry, same goes, but physics, it really just changed the way that you think. It's kind of hard to explain, but it can be a challenging subject, but why I chose them, I chose the biology and chemistry initially, and then I chose physics, swapping out of geography into physics, because initially I shied away from it, but I took a jump and went for it, and I was never so happy that I did.
So what advice would you give to a young girl or teenage girl who wants to, study or work in STEM?
To study or work in STEM? There's a lot to be said about taking the risk to follow maybe what might be a small ambition. So a lot of people, my story in terms of being in school, I kind of wanted to do physics, but it kind of scared me more than it attracted me. Mm-hmm. And I took the jump to do it, and as a personal case, it worked out for me. I love it now. It is my favorite science subject. So in terms of advice, it can be hard to develop your own kind of compass and to trust it. So I would definitely be saying to try and, figure out on your own two feet what is it that you really enjoy. That can be really hard to do. It's one of the hardest things to do, and you continually do it. I'm still figuring out figuring things out. So I would definitely say to try and identify what it is that you like to do. And what are the, so try and look out for those kind of signs of things that mean you might enjoy it or that you've an interest in it. And then just go for it.
What is your favourite aspect of teaching and your favourite subject to teach?
Favourite aspect of teaching. I suppose getting to work with young people. It's a very social environment, obviously. There's kind of the enjoyment comes from, I suppose, the energy of the people that are in the environment. So definitely in terms of the social aspect of it. I wouldn't like to work a desk job. And so again, it was one of those things that I didn't really know in my degree. I got the chance to try education in its first year. Some people then just went pure science, but I got to try it out, and I enjoyed it, so I kept doing it, and here I am. And then my favorite subject, there's different, it's hard to gauge that one, because there's different types of enjoyment that you get from, so for maths, a lot of people don't like you know, they find maths difficult and they've got that struggle.
Yeah.
Okay, and that journey, and it's really nice to see someone overcome, you know, something that they're stuck on.
Mm.
I'm sure he's...
Yeah, we know, yeah.
You know, when you suddenly, when it clicks, so as a teacher,
yeah.
trying to, you know, share that journey, it can be, it makes it worthwhile, you know, in a way. So in terms of maths, there's a kick out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Physics and science, it's a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
You know, each and every, I don't think there's been a science group that I haven't had that I didn't take the Van de Graaff generator, which generates our static electricity.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a group that I haven't zapped someone with the Van de Graaff generator. Or, you know, any of the kind of practicals. So science can be a lot of fun just by nature of its discovery. And trying to understand the world around us kind of thing. So it's a lot of fun to teach as well, you know, in a practical sense. So there's different aspects. Which one do I enjoy more? Variety is the spice of life. I wouldn't, you know, kind of way, it's nice to, it's a fun day kind of having a bit of variation in it. So I don't particularly have a favourite one.
Okay.
And that's an easy answer.
Lastly, if you could change something about Our Ladies, what would it be?
If I could change something about Our Ladies. I'm going to take inspiration from the Teddy's van that recently visited us. And I didn't get the chance to, I didn't get the chance to get an ice cream.
Yeah, it was really nice.
So I was kicking myself. But I would have a permanent Teddy's ice cream van with an absolute essential requirement of butterscotch. Do you know the butterscotch
song? Yeah.
Or alternatively, or maybe even with it, do you know the hot chocolate dipping sauce? So very few.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't think Teddy's even. Oh no, they do in Dunleary. They
Dunleary,
do in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
They do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do it in the van though.
Yeah.
But you know you they invert your 99 into the the liquid chocolate and then it's
Very
amazing.
Nice.
I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time and
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Finally, we interviewed Miss Healy. Miss Healy was asked about her experience of living and teaching in Dubai. She gave us interesting insights and tips into how to go about studying two modern foreign languages and the benefits of studying two languages for the Leaving Cert. Finally, she was asked about what she would change about Our Ladies.
Hi, I'm Susan Cook and I'm part of Our Ladies, Our Boys Podcast Club, and I'm here with
Rachel Brennan.
Yeah. And today we're going to be interviewing the Spanish and French teacher, Miss Healy. And so, Miss Healy, tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi girls, thanks for asking to interview me. So basically I am a qualified French and Spanish teacher. I studied applied languages in Dublin City University. I have been teaching for 14 years, I can't believe it. I've taught in mixed schools mainly, and actually Our Ladies is the first and only all girls school that I have taught in. About 5 years ago, I took a career break and I taught in an international school in Dubai.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that leads to our next question actually. How was your experience of living and teaching in Dubai?
I have to say that it was an incredibly beneficial experience that allowed me to develop both personally and professionally. I think you know, the landscape of teaching is constantly changing, especially in light of the pandemic. And I think as a teacher, you have to be highly adaptable. So living abroad and living outside your comfort zone and teaching in a different country allows you to become very adaptable. I was teaching in a school called Kent College Dubai, and it was actually a new school that was set up for the students of the airline Emirates. So those were the pilot, their kids that I was teaching in the school. It was basically a brand new school, and I was the co-founder of the Spanish department. This was a challenging task, but I learned so much from all the amazing teachers that I worked with. I've set up two kind of schools. I work one in Adamstown Community College in Lucan, and obviously the one in Dubai. So that is a very challenging task, but it's very exciting at the same time.
That's great.
So what are the benefits of learning two languages, like French and Spanish, or French and German?
Well, I would say even just learning a language, you know, immediately when you're learning a language, you have increased job opportunities.
Yeah.
And I think it's an incredibly beneficial tool to be able to speak a language, not only in the context of your future career, but also to your mind and to the way that you see the world. It fosters cultural awareness, which is really important. And for me, the best thing is I have forged many global relationships. I have friends in many different parts of the world. And I think that is a huge asset in somebody's life. I mean, you can travel anywhere. If I wanted to go to France for a weekend or someone to visit, not that I can go now, but as soon as we can fly again, I'm really looking forward to visiting all the friends that I've made.
Which language do you prefer, Spanish or French?
I'm always asked this question, and I would have to say that I think I am more fun when I teach Spanish, and I'm a little bit more serious when I teach French. And I don't know why. So it, you know, I'm always asked that question, and I genuinely just think I'm more fun teaching Spanish.
If you could change one thing, then, ladies, what would be?
Well, definitely after remote learning, I would love to see every student having a Chromebook in the classroom. I mean, there's so many things from remote learning that I would love to bring into my classroom now, but you can't really achieve it unless everybody has a device to work on. And because of remote learning, we have discovered, especially for languages, so many different apps that I just think would be hugely beneficial to the students in the class. So, but we never know. And we will have to wait and see. But actually, interestingly, I was talking to a colleague and she is in a school where all the students have tablets. But she said that at senior level, the students are using their phones, mainly. So they're working off their phones instead of their tablets. So that was quite interesting because they're a digital school. So I don't know what the future is, a new device, maybe.
And one just extra question, I just wondered, what advice would you give to students studying two modern foreign languages for the winter, like French and Spanish? Because I'm studying that, and people I know are doing, you know, German, French.
If you could, I would definitely, I know obviously with the pandemic, but I would definitely try to get to the country. Because that, you know, that is the key to improve your spoken language. But also the listening can be very challenging, and you can really do a lot, you know, at home to improve that. I mean, even listening to your favourite series on Netflix in the target language, I think that's hugely beneficial. And just have it on your ear as much as possible. I think that would be key. That would be the key to success, definitely.
Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks a million, girls.
We'd like to say a massive thank you for the teachers for letting us interview them for this episode of the podcast. We really enjoyed chatting to you all, and we hope our listeners do as well.